Heavenly Father, we're so grateful tonight that you're here in our midst, you're amongst us, not having left us to our own devices. Man never has been left to his own devices, so we know that he takes it upon himself to act many times as though it has been left within his power, apart from you, and yet seemingly given by you according to his thinkings that he can do this, but we know that's not true. It's not in man to know the ways, even his own ways. So we're grateful, Lord, we have not been left to our own devices, no way, shape, or form, but you're here, clothed in your word, and that word is alive amongst us, indwelling us, changing us, and we're very grateful for that. We're certainly grateful, Lord, that it was proven that you have come down amongst us now to put all the enemies under the feet of Jesus, you doing it. Proving that you are here, having created the squirrels two times, showing therefore that you will now create anew bodies from the elements which have gone on down to dust gases for all we know. In divine resurrection and power, Lord, you're going to bring forth another race of people, and we're part of that tonight. We believe that with all of our hearts, and we stand on it. And we're just grateful, Lord, that you're here doing that. We appreciate it so much. Just thank you for grace that you've extended toward us in this hour. Now help us in the study of your word. May we get great joy and rejoicing from it and great strength. May it feed us, we know it will, for the journey that lies ahead. It'll change us for the journey that lies ahead. Because we know that we could never go from one dimension to another without that change. And we know that change is coming. It's already started in us. There is no doubt at all. We're so grateful. We know that people doubt and they might even laugh at it. They might think many things and say many things, but that doesn't affect it at all. It's what you said, and it's what we believe in this hour that counts. And that's where our strength is, Lord. That's where everything is. We're just grateful for it. So we commend ourselves to you this evening hour in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's certainly nice to be here with you. In fact, I don't know that I'm very astute, and I wouldn't know if you'd know that I was astute, if I was astute. But I caught something tonight in the song service that the spirit has changed. It's back where it was when we had the freedom over yonder. And I can start talking again next Sunday, hopefully by the grace of God, to show you those things that why the prophet said. It's just fantastic what's in the Word. We're going to continue tonight on the continuing prophetic office. Like we took last Sunday. And we're going to start reading in Deuteronomy, chapter 18, 15 to 19, beginning. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken according to all thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they are well spoken, that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, that he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now let's go to Hebrews 1, and we'll read 1 to 3, as we usually do. God, who in many parts and many ways spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets. God is in the prophets, speaking to the people in many ways, many parts. Hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express copy of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of the majesty on high. Now with that, we go back to Luke 24, and we'll read verses 19 to 27. And he said unto them, what things? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And now the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and had crucified him, and we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went into the sepulchre and found it even so as when it had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Of course, that would be what was pertinent to him at that time. And over in John 1, Gospel of John, chapter 1. Beginning at 19 to 27, and this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elijah? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then they said unto him, Who are you? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What do you say of yourself? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent of the Pharisees asked him, and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, nor that prophet? And John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Now, to begin tonight our study on the prophetic ministry, same as last Sunday, we first note that from Luke 24 and John 1, neither the leaders of Israel or the apostles understood that in one person God had placed the ministries of the predicted number one prophet, two, Messiah, three, king, four, redeemer from sin, five, high priest, six, God with him, which is Emmanuel, seven, the given son, eight, the restorer, nine, the righteous branch, ten, the son of David, and you can go on and on and on. They didn't realize that God had made this one all of those, because you'll notice they said, Are you Christ? Are you Elijah? Are you that prophet? Now, the distinction of Elijah is more or less inconsequential. He would be a forerunner to Christ. But when they say Christ and that prophet, you will notice that they did not really know that the ministry of the two was in the one person. And I have read to you at least 10 of the very ministries that lay in the one person who came to be our Redeemer. He wasn't just prophet, he was Messiah. He's king, he's high priest. He's the given son, he's God with us, the restorer of the breach, the righteous branch, and so on. Now, perhaps two passages that the Jews relied on as their definition of the expectation of Israel, because that's what this one was also, the expectation of Israel, would be chapters 59 and chapters 9 of Isaiah. So, we'll look at those to see what Israel projected as to be the expectation of Israel, or what they were looking for. 20 and 21, Isaiah 59. And the Redeemer, that word is looser. It doesn't mean that this man is going to redeem from sin. Israel did not have that conception. As you understand, they could not believe in a blood sacrifice of a human. This means the looser from bondage, liberator. So, the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. So they were looking for a Redeemer who would establish them. Then we look at Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. And in there we see, For unto us a child is born, as a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace. there should be no end, and upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I would say that those two passages give you a good idea of what Israel was looking for rather than for what came to them. Their consolation that once more not their glory would be restored. Rather, their consolation was that once more their glory that they once had would be restored and would be greater than even Solomon. And I suppose they would take such scripture as Isaiah 66, beginning at verse 5. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you up for a name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, and he shall appear to your joy. And they shall be ashamed. A noise, a voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple. A voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she delivered a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing, who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You see, that doesn't belong to them at all, but they think it does. That is back in those days. It belongs to the fact that a nation is born in one day at this hour. They were looking for something different, entirely different, looking for a great Messiah to come and put them on the map, see? Shall I bring to birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith God? Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice with her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied at the breast of her consolation. Ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, you shall be born upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees. As one whom his mother covers, so will I comfort you, and you'll be comforted in Jerusalem. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Now, you can see that they would believe scripture like this, and in believing scripture like that, they would not be interested in other scripture that would seem to contradict what they definitely wanted. Now, even after Jesus said who he was, and that his kingdom was not of this world, the apostles, after the resurrection, but before Pentecost, even they asked him, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They themselves were looking for a kingdom. They simply couldn't focus the attention upon what God really was doing. They couldn't accept God's interpretation of his own word by him bringing that word to pass and manifesting it, see? So, it is evident that the Jews misunderstood the scripture of Genesis 13, 14 and Genesis 15, 5 to 7. Let's go back to that. Genesis 13 and verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after the Lot was separated from him, lift up thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, thy seed shall be also numbered. Arise, walk through the land, and the length of it, and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent, and came to dwell in the plains of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Now, Genesis 15, 5 to 7. And he brought him forth and abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the earth of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Now, they applied this scripture to themselves as a nation under divine leadership, turning the world to God, with them preeminent as head nation, with God as their own personal ruler, so that God in redemption came to the Gentiles through their nation. God governing Israel, and they in turn governing the world. Now that's what they took from the scriptures, and they still have that same idea. Now their concept, therefore, of a Messiah was a strong militant, militating and leading and producing victory nationally and then spiritually, which would be a forced revelation under the law. And I don't think Israel has ever given up on that. There's something in them that still says, we're going to own it all, we're going to rule it all, and there's nothing you can do about it. Now, if this Messiah was a prophet, this is what their thinking would be. If this Messiah was a prophet, he'd have to be like Moses, with authority over Rome, as Moses had over Egypt. If he were to rule, he would destroy the enemy, as did David. If he were to produce power over a community of nations, he would have to be a Solomon, with his ability to legislate, to govern, to control. And the only place that Isaiah 53 fit in, which we're not going to read because that's a suffering lamb, was that if this was the broken spirit and the crying spirit of a nation that one day must rise to take its rightful place under the dynamic leadership of a Messiah who must come in order to bring these poor bleeding ones forth into their rightful position. So, it is evident that Deuteronomy 18:15-19 did not hold out much hope to Israel in the face of all the other prophecies that seemed grander and more accommodating to their desires. I hope you're catching what I'm saying, because the same thing applies right to the Gentiles this hour. Always you will find what is more grand and accommodating to you. See, I don't care who you are. See, I don't care who you are. Unless God does something that you are privy to, that you yourself know exclusively from God, you will fit this pattern like Israel did, and every Gentile fits it. So I'm going to read it again. It is evident that Deuteronomy 18:15-19 did not hold out much hope or any glory or anything really important or too vital, dynamically necessary. See? In the face of all the other prophecies that seem grander and more accommodating to their desires, the prophecies they coveted for themselves outweighed the prophet. All right, gifts and everything else. Yet the visitation of that prophet in Deuteronomy 18 to Israel was the great basic and distinct national promise of those Jews that superseded the other promises in Genesis made to Abraham, and that were largely for the Gentiles, not Israel. You hear what I said? The promises that God gave in Genesis are not basic to Israel. No, they have a part in them, but they are not basic as though they are exclusive. Or that promise is based upon the exclusivity of God dealing with the nation. I don't think I could repeat that. You have to get the tape and roll it back. But I'm trying to get across to you this, that promise is not an exclusive to the Jew primarily, then going to the Gentiles. It was to all of the election, then came the physical election to the Jews. You feel what I mean? So it was not a promise rich in its exclusiveness, though Israel may try to hog it. They tried to make theirs what was not exclusively theirs, and bypassed what was theirs. Not good, hey? You talk about some people. Not very smart. See? Reach out to grab and bypass what's yours. All right, what is tonight? We got to learn to let our hair down more and more and get more and more, you know, in rapport with each other. Look back in your own life. What have you, as denominational people, and there's nobody here outside of myself that's got, except maybe Norman, and I guess Jim has, a strong Pentecostal background. I guess your folk were too, yeah. And they're the best of the works. But doing this, you know, always want to grab what isn't there. And let go of this. See, that's where they get all messed up in these ministries. And you see, Israel was the same way. See, we run true to form. Israel, listen, wanted to be the redeemer instead of the carrier. Instead of the womb for the redeemer. That's what's all about Israel. See, the promises were there way before Israel. Because remember, Jacob is the son, way down the line, Abraham, Isaac. Abraham is his granddad. Now we come to the nation. They're springing out and becoming a nation. Now, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed, is not spoken to Israel per se. Now, that's where everybody's still messed up. They think that Israel's going to be restored in great grandeur and glory, and the world is going to continue. Israel has 3.5 years. See? So, Israel rejected being what God wanted her to be, and she tried to be what God doesn't want her to be. And she's been paying a big price for it ever since. She was to be the womb, the carrier of the Redeemer. The image of a prophet was not sufficient in magnitude for the Roman candle event out of which all else would come. Instead of being a Roman candle, he fizzled out like a half-lit match, as far as Israel is concerned. You see what I'm trying to get across? This, looking for these big things. Looking for these big things. Looking for the big things. Deciding you're going to grab onto a certain bunch of scripture and say, this is the way it is, and you'll bypass every single time exactly what is. See? When you reach out for what is not your own, see? You will miss every time what is your own. That's the law that's laid down. They just couldn't see that prophet being that Roman candle, out of whom is all things. Israel therefore could not accept a prophet that did not acknowledge their interpretation of Scripture, and especially their understanding of the advent and ministry of Messiah. And neither can the Gentile. Neither can anybody. See? No way. No way. Notice, the prophet always fizzles. But he doesn't. He is the Roman candle. Okay? Now, though he was perfectly vindicated and fulfilled all scripture concerning himself, they could not change their minds. They were blinded by tradition. Notice how he came to them. We go to John 5. And in verse 43, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Now watch. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Now they weren't supposed to receive him. That's going to come in another name. They were supposed to receive him who came in his Father's name. Now, notice how he was supposed to come. He said, I'm coming in my Father's name. Let's find out how he's supposed to come. Deuteronomy 18. Verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet in the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. According to all thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, never see this great fire anymore. And the Lord said unto them, they have well spoken what they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among the brethren, like unto thee. I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name. He came in the Father's name. Oh, that's not big enough. See? Fizzle. How'd you like to be a prophet that fizzled? Not one of them ever did. But everyone does. Notice what is yet to happen. Now let's watch. Oh, you say, they really messed things up. They got away with that one, didn't they? Let's find out. Matthew 21. No. It'd be 23, I believe. 23. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. It's going to happen. Don't worry, I think they've been saying it already. Finally, they will give up on their traditions. They will give up on their human reasonings. They will say, as the book tells us in Isaiah, they'll look at the book and somebody will say, read it. He said, I can't do it. It's sealed. Tell us what's in there. I'm ignorant. I'm not educated. Somebody do something. Forget it. What are you waiting for? Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Israel will. Today Israel wants a prophet because Israel needs a prophet, and they will get two of them. The two witnesses. All right. Where Israel went astray in denying the first rung of God's ladder of prophets, so now to the Gentiles. That Elijah the prophet should come to the Gentiles is folly in Christendom. Absolute folly. Wherein lies their folly? Stop and think, it is self-evident. Israel delivered from Egypt, God in a prophet. Israel redeemed, God in a prophet, Jesus. The separation of the righteous from the wicked before the burning, God in the prophet. Malachi 4:1-6. Before the millennium could start, prophet. Before the Gentiles could have any light, prophet. Always God and the prophet. Now the prophets are prophets because of the prophetic office. And the prophetic office is Hebrews 1:1-2. God in many parts, in many times. Spake unto the fathers in the prophets. Half these last days made his son a prophet. The greatest of all. And Hebrews 1:2 had these last days spoken unto any son that says these last days. Now many people confuse that and they think, well, that's the end of all time. Don't be ridiculous. We'll show you that's wrong thinking. Hebrews 1:2 is Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor and so on. It is also 42:1. You are well aware. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighted. Now, Hebrews 1:2 and Isaiah 61:1 Isaiah 42:1 is Matthew 12:8. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Now notice, he was that prophet. And as the prophet, he was Lord of the Sabbath day. He came with the word and the authority that changed the dispensation. See, he had it. The prophet is the supreme authority of God to man. Jesus had to be a prophet. Notice what is said about him in Deuteronomy 18:18-19. Let's go back and look at it. I will raise up a prophet among the brethren. Like unto thee, and I put my words in his mouth. He shall speak of them all that I shall command him. It will come to pass, whoever will not hear him, hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. All right? Notice what he calls himself in that 8th verse of Matthew 12 then. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. He is therefore the prophet to all mankind. He's Son of Man. He's known as the second Adam, the last man. The Son of Man, that's his humanity. And God in humanity is a prophet. And he's a prophet to all because he identifies himself as coming through Israel. We showed you that in the two genealogies, one of Luke and one of Matthew. And Luke, it goes all the way back to Adam. In Matthew, it simply goes to Abraham, where the flesh of Israel starts. So here he is, the Son of Man. He is the prophet to all mankind. He is the prophet to Israel in the flesh. He is the prophet beyond Israel by virtue of the fact of the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what we're coming to and what this message is about. The Jews could not take the prophetic ministry. No way. They wanted it their way. And those who rejected him paid. Now the Gentiles do the same. They don't want his prophetic office of God in a man telling the revelation of God. They don't want it. So you understand what is going on in this hour? We go to the book of Luke, chapter 17. 20-21. And when he's the man of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Now, Israel's understanding of a kingdom, which I have been referring to, where the prophet would fizzle, where if that prophet was Messiah, he fizzled. There is no way Israel could receive him. And he is debunking their understanding of a kingdom. Now watch. He said the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. And their understanding of the kingdom of God was right here on earth, them preeminent amongst all nations, ruling all nations, through the supreme authority of God in them by their Messiah. Now, he said, sure, it's coming. But you won't see it. Now, what kind of a kingdom is that? Sure, not what they had in mind. Now, that's not the kingdom that they had in mind that could possibly come to pass. How can anybody reconcile their traditional teaching of the millennium to the Word of God right here? They must know that their understanding is simply a Hebrew tradition and has nothing to do with the revealed Word of God. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. It was already there and they couldn't see it. Why? Because the prophet was there. So if you can't see the prophet, you can't see the king. Now think it over. I don't care what you say. He was the prophet. He said to the disciples, prophesying, the days will come and you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, you'll not see it. You'll desire to see the very prophetic office in total manifestation and total power. And they shall say, see here, see there, go not after nor follow. Now, you know what they're going to do? They're going to make up their own traditions on it. Israel made up their traditions based upon Scripture that they preferred above other Scripture. So they became traditionalists. They lost out. I said, don't go. For as the lightning light is under one part of heaven, shines the other part, under heaven so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Light. How does light come? By the Word. How does the Word come? By a prophet. He's telling them the prophetic ministry has to repeat. And it will be a prophetic ministry. It'll be under their noses. And they'll say, ha! Ow! They'll say, if this is it, forget it, because we have grander Scripture by far.
Hope you're thinking. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. But remember, those days are coming back, as it said so. And it's going to be just the same as it was then. It'll be right amongst them, a prophetic ministry. And they'll say, oh, no, we've got Scripture. We understand that's a far greater Roman candle. It's got far greater grandeur. It's something that suits us. We don't want that. And we're going to have this. Like hogwash, they're going to have it. Like they got Titus in 70 A.D. is what's going to happen. Mystery bit. And it's as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage. What should they have been doing? Running to the prophet to find out about the kingdom. That's your brother Branham warned. At least I've got to fear people are going to get too careless. They're not sincere enough, not sober enough. They're going to put everything, they're going to put the Word aside for a lot of things. Now, of course, I'm going to get criticized, but I'm staying home for a while. And you're going to work with me. Because I'm going to show what you got. Because we're going to get together more than we got together before. We're going to talk about these things. And we're going to make this the theme of our lives. And they'll say, well, you're a legalist. No, I'm not a legalist. I can read the Bible. I'm not a jackass. I wasn't born yesterday. I'm a jackass in this respect. I've got enough in the ball to be sober and sincere and do it. Here's where it belongs. Not you think you're going to pray yourself this way and fast yourself and do the other thing. It says, you're going to be together. You're going to talk a certain way. See? Now, but these people were just too busy with the daily amenities. Eating, drinking. People never had so much to eat and drink with either. Likewise, in the days of Lot, eating and drinking, buying and selling, building. Hey? The prophetic office ministry was neglected. Let's go a little further. So shall it be in Laodicea. They'll be speaking in tongues and discerning and prophesying and laying on of hands and healing the sick, and they'll miss it. They'll be too busy talking their own traditions and creeds and dogmas instead of becoming a holy nation unto God where people come together and talk these things. I am a little bit gratified by some of you women for the first. I'm going to say this to you few people. And you know that I say things very horribly, and I do it on purpose. I'm going to close my eyes and I say it. I honestly think sometimes some sisters, and they might not be present, they might not be part of us, they may be part of us, they have brains like a chicken. That's their intelligence. But you know something? They surprise me. They come back with the truth. They're eagles. I want us to learn to talk the eagle language. You can't get it any other way except the Scripture tells you they come together often, spake often, Lord, them that feared His name, thought often upon Him. There's not enough thinking upon him. See, this is why these messages have one theme and have had for going on 2 years. Give him preeminence. He deserves it. Amen. Because he's going to get it anyway. Amen. And he's already got it. Because the Father stepped off the throne to see that everything goes under his feet. I'm going to tell you something. There won't be one person in the resurrection who is outside this word. Because you see, the prophet is the basic rung of the ladder. He is the Roman candle. Out of which immortality, resurrection, rapture, wedding supper, millennium, and all come. Yeah. Don't forget. The prophet stood there. And they said, okay, prophet, tell us. What about the kingdom? He said, it's here, and you missed it. Living word. They missed it, Brother Brown said. When God said, let there be light, it was just a word. But when light came, it was reality. The word wasn't needed anymore. There's reality today. You are no longer looking for a fulfillment. It is being fulfilled. See? People turning aside. Now, and it said, in the days of that prophecy, fire comes down. In other words, there won't be another message. This is the message that foreruns the fire. That they're coming down to earth of our great God and Savior. Sure. Absolutely. Now, 22 to 25. And he said unto his disciples, I read, the days will come. They're going to want to see it. This generation will go. The generation coming into Laodicea will do exactly what the Israelites did. Blinded to the prophet. Now, we read to 25. Read to 26 to 30. Even thus will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that word absolutely means when the veil is torn aside and there he stands before us. Now, what is the Son of Man? Prophet! When the prophetic ministry comes back to earth, veiled in human flesh. I want to ask you a question. People say, well, you know, Brother Vail, it wasn't Brother Branham did those works. It was God, sure. What if Brother Branham hadn't been there? It's just the same with Jesus. Jesus said the Father doeth the works. What if Jesus hadn't been there? Did Moses ever came to do the works? No way. All right. This is exactly the same period and event with the emphasis placed in a different manner as in Matthew 24, 23 to 28. In other words, what I read in Luke is exactly Matthew 24 based on the third part, what will be the sign of thy presence, 23 to 28. And if any man say, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders. In other words, our church has the Holy Ghost. Our church has God. Our church has got this. He said, hold it. You're all going to be saying it. But who's got him? They'll even show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, thank God it isn't possible, the very elect would be deceived. Behold, I told you that back in Matthew 7. Wherefore, if they say, behold, he's in the desert, don't bother going to look. If he's a secret chamber, and men tell you they're going to produce it, don't you believe it. That's happened this message already. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shines even the west, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Once more light. You're back to the prophet. Where the carcasses, eagles be gathered together. Now notice, Matthew 24, 29 and 30 follows 23 to 28. Now it says, now this is in sequence, chronologically so. Immediately after tribulation, those days shall some be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, stars shall fall from heaven, powers of heaven be shaken, then appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and all the tribes of earth mourn, and they'll see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he'll send his angel messengers with a great sound of trumpet, gather together elect from the four corners, his elect from the four winds, one of him the other. Now you notice in here it says positively, there has to come the light before the great tribulation. A prophetic ministry. The great prophet must come on the scene by the Holy Spirit before the tribulation comes, before there will be those signs set forth in the earth that make people to know they're in dire straits and in trouble. Now, 32 and on. Learn a parable of fig tree. His branches tender puts forth leaves. Summer's nigh. Likewise, you know, when you see all these things, it is near you to the doors. I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word shall not pass away. For that day and hour knows no man, not even the angel of heaven, but my Father only. I ask you a question. Who knew about that day in the River Jordan? John didn't. John just knew it had to happen. Here he picked the day or the hour. He had to be watching, and one day it struck. What about June the 11th, 1933? Who knew that day and that hour? Hey, nobody. No way. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the presence of the Son of Man be. Now notice, the presence of the Son of Man. Okay? The presence of the prophetic office. And Son of Man is not just prophetic office. It's identified with all men. Because the genealogy took him right back to Adam. And remember, he is the last Adam, the second Adam. He's the last man. So you identify here as an Adam, all die, so in Christ all are made alive. You're looking at this one who was a man. Now it says the prophetic office has to come back. And it will be revealed that it is the same one in the spirit who did what he did here in the flesh. See? For as the days before the flood were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark knew not the flood came and took away, so shall the presence of the Son of Man be. And it says right there, the Son of Man presence will be there, the prophetic ministry will be there, and you'll say, well, who needs it? Glory to God! I'm going to see the dead come out of the grave. Hallelujah! I'm going to be changed. Bless God! I'm going to be a manifested son. You ought to see the fireworks I'm going to have. Yeah, you'll have them all right in the lake of fire. The prophetic office is too tame. It fizzles. Every prophet fizzles. Jesus fizzles. Moses fizzles. Elijah fizzles. Every prophet fizzles. Why? Just this. Nobody believes the report. Nobody. Oh, few elect. Nobody wants it. They want the fireworks. They want their creeds and their dogmas. They want their big show. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what any preacher preaches. I'm going to stick with what I believe because I've seen it come back on me. I know it's coming back on me. I'll set upon any ministry of anything, any place else. I set it all on Him, or I forget it. Because I have seen and recognized and know that prophetic ministry amongst us, though I'm not as holding it as sacred as I should, not as sincere and as sober as I should, yet I know those days are coming. It may be the rebuke to Sarah. God's going to put us right, but thank God we'll be there. Then the two will be in the field, one taking, one left. Two in grinding the mill, one taking, one left. Now this is separation time. Watch therefore, you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, a good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Now it tells you right there that only those that see the unveiling will not have their houses broken up. Now what's a broken house? I don't know. Maybe I can find it, maybe I can't. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and do them, like them a wise man and build his house upon a rock, the rains descended, the flood came, the winds blew and beat upon the house and fell not, and is found upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, like it unto a foolish man, build his house upon the sand, the rain descended, the flood came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And Jesus ended these sayings if you were astonished, his doctrine. You can see right here what he's talking about. See? The house would not have suffered dissolution.
Okay, let's go to Hebrews 12. Just strikes my mind. Verse 25, see, they refuse not him that speaketh. At the time, we're getting ready to go up in the rapture. For if they escape not, refusing to speak on earth, much more shall we not escape. We turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he had promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. This word, once more, signifies the moving of those things that are shaken, as the things that remain that cannot be shaken. What does the thief do here? He moves things, doesn't he? There you are. Oh, the good man wasn't looking. The good man didn't know about it. The good man closed his eyes to the prophetic ministry. And he got shook down. The thief shook him down. So it is the prophetic ministry. Nothing shall stand but that which hears this word at the end time. That's the house that's built upon the rock, which is revelation. And when it's built upon a revelation, everything gets shaken down but you, because you're part of that word. There you are. See, the word of God doesn't lie. Everything dovetails. You never knew it dovetailed that good, did you? I didn't know this meant either. Just keep your minds open. Anything can come, you just let it come. One spirit wrote this Bible, we're one spirit tonight. Should come up, shouldn't it?
Amen.
Sure. Now therefore be ye ready. For such an hour think not the Son of Man cometh. Okay, verse 46, blessed is that servant whom the Lord when he cometh shall find so doing. What? This is a prophetic office. Got his eyes open for a prophet. Knows that this is the first rung, and this is the entire, pardon the expression, gut of the Roman candle. This is a complete powder keg. And the complete keg of powder. But they don't know it. Because unless it comes out of the prophetic office, it can't happen. Now it tells you, the prophetic office has to return. Same one that he had when he was here upon earth. Alright? And then it says in verse 51, shall cut him asunder, point his portion with the hypocrites, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That is the great tribulation. It says right there that before the great tribulation sets in, the prophetic office ministry returns to this earth. The Son of Man is present by means of the Holy Spirit, and the Son of Man is manifesting by means of the prophetic office. And remember, there cannot be God in prophetic office outside of a man. The Holy Spirit returning in the form of human flesh once more in this hour. People still don't want to recognize the fact God in a prophet. But they sure tell you God's in them when he might not be in them, because they might be swine flesh. God doesn't deal with pigs and dogs. God deals with sheep. I'm not saying that unkindly, I'm just saying it as a thought. So I hope you see it. Everything Israel missed by rejecting the prophet, and therefore God shall now to the Gentiles. This great God Elohim ordained that his own revelation of himself come by prophet as to both what he is and what he is doing. And one day became the great prophet God himself in the flesh of a man. Now it is back to the Holy Spirit and the prophet Elijah that turns us back. And then comes separation, deliverance, and the kingdom. See? There's got to be separation before the deliverance. How could Israel stay in Egypt without separation and be delivered? God's separating right down the line. The light was in Goshen, not in Egypt. Watch the light. He is Hebrews 13 and 8. He is the prophet. And what he is doing and about to do can never change from its ordained pattern of Amos. Third chapter, 6 and 7. Shall the trumpet be blown in the city, and people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and the Lord has not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing. But he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now it tells you right there that God cannot change the order of things. And God cannot hold back from revealing what is secret or what is divisive or what is misunderstood from the people. He's got to make it clear. How does he make it clear? He makes it clear by a prophet. God still has to be his own prophet, and he uses a man as his voice. A man cannot be a prophet in himself. It is not man that is the prophet.
It is God that is the prophet. All right. Now, we close in a few minutes here. However long that's going to take. But we want to take a good look at some scripture for comparison. So we go to Hebrews 1:1-2 again. This time this will help us to run situation. God who in many parts, in many ways, many sections of the word, under many conditions, in many times, spake unto the fathers and the prophets, hath in these last days delivered himself unto the Son, speaking in him, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the ages. In other words, this one is a line of demarcation within himself. And only prophets can make lines of demarcation. Nobody else can do it. You want a juncture? You take a prophet. Now, with this, 1 and 2, we go to Isaiah 42:8-9. Now look at the words I'm going to read you. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass. Even new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell them to you. Now right there is exactly how God does things. Now how can he tell you anything except by a prophet? Okay, Matthew 11:13-14. Because this is in conjunction with what I'm reading. We read it the other day. We read it anew. And watch what it says. 13:14. Matthew 11. All right. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. All right. If they prophesied until then, that's it. Prophecy drops. Something ends. Something has got to take over. Evidently, something passes away by being fulfilled. And if you receive it, this is Elijah which was to come. Now, over in Isaiah, he said, the former things are gone. I mean, the previous things are gone. The past things are gone. Now, something new is about to happen. I'm going to tell you about it. Now, therefore, up until John, certain things were transpiring, which ended with John. Now, ending with John, something else will come forth. Now, before John, every prophet screamed, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. John said, he's here, he's here, he's here. It's all over. Every prophet prophesied. Now that's right. Jesus himself absolutely in the book of Luke said it. He laid it out. And he took every prophecy concerning himself that had to do with his suffering and entering into his glory. Every single one. So therefore, something transpired. And it transpired at the time of John because John was the last one to speak of his coming. And he said, I know he's out there somewhere. The coming one has come, but he hasn't come this far yet into observation and identification. But he said, I'll know who he is, don't worry, because when I see that pillar of fire come down like a dove, that's the one. And he did. And at that time, it was fulfilled. What was fulfilled? I read it here. Let's go back and look at it again. Hebrews 1. And 1:2, God who in many parts and in many ways, in time past, spake unto the fathers in the prophets, proclaiming the coming Messiah. See? Hath in these last days fulfilled the word of the coming Messiah. And here he is. And it's this one upon whom the ages are patterned. You realize that the blood of bulls and goats never took anybody out of the ground, but this man's death and resurrection did. Okay? He made all the ages. All right. He's here. Now, there were many prophecies for the seventh church age. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming. This is to happen, this is to happen, this is to happen. And I will admit that there was too much talk concerning the this and the that of which was to happen, and very little of whom it was to happen, or the event that he was involved in. And he's put aside to one side by simply saying, well, no man knows the day or the hour, but he's coming at strange times, and that takes care of that. Well, that's not true. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And we'll try to put this together for what I got in mind. Beginning at verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which in part should be done away. If the word perfect is the same as usual, completed, finished, polished off, that's it. A perfection. Can't be added to, can't be taken from. This is what you were looking for. This is what was in the eyes of God. God having done it, perfect, seal it, gone, finished. Now, when I was a child, spoke as a child, and said as a child, thought as a child, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, that's over there when we stop the milk age and go to the meat age, which is the carcass age of the eagle under Melchizedek. When the great one himself comes down. So it was here as a theophany upon the earth. With whom Abraham had fellowship. Before the coming of the sun and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. All right. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I now even know even also as I am known. Now it tells you there that the very same thing that happened in the Old Testament, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming, apart, 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 seven church ages, he's going to come, he's going to come, he's going to come, apart, 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 here comes to the time when there's no more part, and he's got to be here. Now, what way? Prophetic office. If he's the same yesterday, then forever, and Alpha is Omega, it has got to be once more the prophet. It can't be anything else. Because that's Hebrews 1 and 1. You didn't catch it. I'll tell you why. John the Baptist turned the hearts of the children to the fathers, and today, the children go back to the fathers. So therefore, every single thing the Father said, when Jesus was there in the flesh, John the Baptist took and brought it to the attention so that the children could say, there is the one of whom the Father spoke. Now today, the children have got to be back brought to the fathers. Who are our fathers? The apostolic fathers. With Paul in the majority. So we've got to be turned back. Now we've had seven church ages of piecemeal to bring him to totality. This is where people don't understand what we're talking about, what Brother Brown said. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is now back in the church. See? And each age had a measure of the Word, which is the flesh of the Holy Spirit. In the first age, they had it all. But only a part of it belongs to them. The very first promise, and thee shall all nations earth be blessed. That's the whole thing. There's going to be a man child born. And he's it. Now write a million books. Go ahead. I'll bring it to one word. Jesus.
Amen.
You say, well, we got to have thoughts about it. So what? Everything, all the thoughts are contained in him. We've got to know what he can do. So what? Everything is in him. But you see, he was dealt piecemeal. Right? Seven church ages is the same thing. Now you take seven ingredients over a period of time. If that's what a loaf of bread takes, you get your loaf of bread at the end, when you get your seventh ingredient. For seven church ages we have known apart. But when there's no more parts, then he's got to be here. He's here in the form of the Holy Spirit, the whole Word. And this time we're not looking through a glass darkly, but face to face. That is the presence and the revelation. See? Now, let's ask a question. How is it going to come? How did it always come? God, in parts and ways, used the prophet. See? So through the ages, God had to use a prophet to start it, and God has to use a prophet to finish it. Now, what's in the church is what I've been preaching on for, oh, sermon after sermon. I know some people get bored of it, but I'm sorry for you. You're just ignorant, that's all. Something wrong somewhere. Wherefore also, after hearing your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, and that's the highest order there is, humanly speaking, cease not to give thanks and make mention of my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you that are full of the Holy Ghost something you don't have. Collectively, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him, the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. No, period. A comma. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to His mighty power which He wrought in Christ? That could not be fulfilled until just 1 minute before the resurrection. There's no way. That Spirit is in the church. And that Spirit is revealing Him. See? And it's the last revelation. Why? Because it's the full Word return. The full Spirit of God in our midst. Elohim Himself. Here to raise the dead. The same power which was wrought in Christ, which was an uncorrupted body. See? Was changed to immortality. Our bodies will not corrupt. They're going to be changed. The dead have to come out of the ground. And the same rapture that He took the Old Testament saints up will take place so that we will be taken up. And that is because of the prophetic office by the Holy Ghost. Because it's a juncture. You say, when is this resurrection going to take place? It's going to take place anytime now. The generation not going to pass away because this message has come. And this message, a revelation of Him and the riches of the mysteries of Almighty God for this hour have been exposed. And it's going to bring forth a resurrection. You can say what you want. You can pray and fast and do all you want. And you can get tired of hearing it. I see what I like about the fact today is if you get tired of hearing it, you may leave and not even bother coming back. I won't go. You're going to go. Because someone will sit around here and want to hear for hour after hour. Going to hear about Him. Because you've got to understand that's how you're going to get your change. I'm sorry. If you're trying to get your change some other way, as far as I am concerned, you are completely out. It is the prophetic office. The Roman candle that fizzled. Yes, fizzled. Yes. Fizzle. I don't want to hear about His presence. Not interesting. Well, let's have tongues interpretation. Everything else says a certain guy in Canada. The gloves are off. I'm telling you, Brother Nancy, get the gloves off. The gloves are off. I'm staking everything in my life on the fact that this Word has come back.
Amen.
Amen. See? It's come back as a double portion. Not just the portion that He gave us and we give to Him and minister, but He brings it back on us. So now it's a double. It's not just the word of the prophet that God gave him, it's the word that God gave me. Now I and the prophet are one. And the prophet and God are one. So God and the Word and the Prophet and the people are one. And people can sneer and say, well, leave me, I'll be saying, I and my Father are one. Yes, I and my Father are one. Sure. Why do you say, you ain't fit to be? I never said it was. He said. You don't know your scripture. He takes the beggar off the dunghill and makes him a prince. And if you haven't sat on a dunghill, you better get dunging. Because your Pelton don't even know. Stink like a horse stable. Khrushchev said to Nixon, he said, nothing stinks worse than a horse. And you know what he's talking about. And Nixon, I beg your pardon, Mr. President. Pigs smell worse. I think Nixon was right. Better sit on the minority. And God can't take you from any place but a minority. I'm not saying go out here and live like the devil. Never said there wasn't character and fruit and all these things. I'm just telling you the truth. You'll never be happy with yourself. The more you see him and more you know what he's done for you and doing for you, the more you'll be disgusted. But the more you'll say, I and my Father, one, oh, thank God, is true. Because, oh, brother, if it weren't, forget it.
Amen.
Yes, sir. This is 1 John 4, 1-6. Let's look at it. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone in the world. That's where the spirit is that runs the church. It's in prophets. Because they come to reveal the word. Oh, they don't come and write a new Bible. They just tell you what the Bible says, according to them. Oh, you talk about Pentecostal hogwash and Baptist hogwash. Hereby know ye the spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. It tells you right there. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist you heard of, that it should come. And even already is in the world. You have got little children to overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now listen, it's gonna, now watch. Don't just stop back there. Read the whole thing through. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. The world hears them. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God heareth not us. So there's two groups of Bible teachers and prophets and the whole bit of them. One's of God and one's not of God. How are you going to know? Well, all through the ages, the first age had a vindicated prophet. Through the other ages, they had the convicting spirit of God and they turned to God. Nobody knew. And now at the end time, they got a prophet again. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It tells you right there. It couldn't be plainer. That's the same spirit. Now, John is talking of the first age. They were ready for a rapture. But the Bible was not given to them that said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me should never perish. That was a promise for the seventh church age. Not for another age. Only for the seventh church age. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 3. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But he that liveth and believeth in me shall never perish could only come to one age, which is the Ephesian age. Which follows when the baptism with the Holy Ghost peters out. Because it's temporary. Now just leave your finger and go back to Ephesians. You kind of missed that and I'll give it back. Give it back to you. Now look. Verse 13, whom you also hoped, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And whom also after that you hope, believed you received the Holy Spirit of promise. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, the purchase possession, unto the praise of glory. Now, that's got to stop for the other to come. The last age, when the last measure of the Word, the last measure of the Holy Ghost is given, then all in all steps right into His church, as He did and in March of 1963, when the seals were open. There He stood. Now, that has taken place. Paul wrote in his day the same as John. Hereby know we the spirit of truth. And the spirit of error depends on who you're listening to. Now, there were false prophets and true prophets back there. And the same repeats in Matthew 24. Now the question arises, who's the true prophet? The one that comes in the name of the Lord, just like Jesus did. Coming in the name of the Lord, vindicated, absolutely vindicated. In him is that Spirit of Almighty God that is bringing the last message that out of which will come everything else. Now let's prove it to you. You already know it, let's prove it. Revelation chapter 10. I saw another mighty messenger come down, men, angels of the covenant. Clothed the cloud, rainbow upon his head, his face the word of the sun, feet of his fire. Hand handled the book open, set his right foot upon land and left foot upon the earth. Right foot on his left on earth. Cried a loud voice when a lion roared, when he cried, 7 times under the voices. And 7 times under the voice, eyes about right, and heard a voice and said, see up those things, 7 times under right or not. The angels I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth, up his hand heaven, and serve him who lives forever and ever, who created the heaven, and things there are in the earth, the things that there in are, and the sea, and the things that are therein, there should be time the longer. Now, but in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God to finish, as he had declared the good news of the gospel by his servants the prophets. Now it tells you right there that the prophets are involved. And they were involved with giving the word. Now then, at that time every mystery gets cleared up. So a prophet is involved. Now he's involved when this mighty one comes down. Now let's come and take a look at that mighty one. Revelation chapter 22. All right. Verse 10, he said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust still. Now look at it. It says the mystery time should be no longer. It winds up. It's all over. When that one comes down, there's a winding up time. There was a winding up time when Jesus came on earth as a human being. The law was until John. He's coming, he's coming, he's coming. He's here, he's here, he's here. Now, to the time of this messenger, he's coming, he's coming, he's coming. He's here, he's here, he's here. Who's here? Son of Man, prophetic ministry. Why? Because Alpha's Omega. That's the way it was, that's the way it's got to be. Without this prophetic ministry, you see, without it, there is no more redemption, there is no more anything. It's not the redemption that's done away with. 144,000 Jews commit. It is not that nobody else will get the Holy Ghost. 144,000 Jews get it. Nobody's fussing at that. We're just telling you a fact that people don't understand. It's right under their noses, and they don't see it. Why? Because it's a prophetic ministry. They don't want a prophetic ministry. And they'll do everything they can to discredit it. Brother Branham won't have thus saith the Lord, but every Pentecostal jerk will tell you he said thus saith the Lord. Right. Well, if that's the case, throw your Bible in the gutter. For God's sake, let's go out and get drunk before it's too late. You want to kill a few people? Kill a few of them ain't going to do any harm. They don't kill you first. Who needs God? Who needs anything? You got a God that lies? You got a book that tells lies? Oh, no. No way, shape, or form. Eternal life does not deal in generalities. Eternal life does not mean even hit and miss. Eternal life is not going through revolving doors. Eternal life is going through a straight gate, one door opens in. And the door shuts. No man pluck him out of my Father's hand. No, we've got a more sure word of prophecy, brother, sister, than even those who are with him on that mount. Yeah. More sure word. You know what? Because there's 2,000 years to go back there. Ain't no time left. Hallelujah, it's all run out. Prophetic ministry. That's the great Roman candle that fizzled. According to everybody. But the prophet screamed out in the rapture tape, thus it has been spoken, thus it shall be. And let me tell you flat, I stay with the prophet and dealing with the mighty God. Once it was just a word, but today it's reality. Amen. We're not looking down the pipe, brother, sister. I told you all these years I've kept one thing above anything else. The prophet is all the time looking back, all the time looking forward. Nobody knows what's going on. Let me tell you, we do know what's going on. He's here, and I'm telling you what he's doing. Praise brother man said, find that bride. Find a woman. She's got a character. Stand still and listen to the message. Stand still in the waters of separation so she gets a new dress on her. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And who said that? A prophet. Remember my servant Moses. He stood there at the pillar of fire. Elijah's got the same thing. Same God. Same one. No difference. It lies in the prophetic office. It couldn't be plainer. The Christ of Isaiah 42 is still the prophetic ministry. Still the same one, but it's all over. Except for the child training. How long? I don't know. The prophet said maybe 10 years, maybe 20, maybe 100, maybe tonight. Well, it couldn't have been tonight. No way. See? Signs weren't in. But they're coming in pretty fast now. Coming in faster all the time. Israel and the homeland. Getting more and more hated. America about to turn on her. The Pope about to come out of America. I don't know. All I say is this. Look. I'm not here to say what day and what hour he's going to happen. But I'm here to know this one thing. He's here. And out of this prophetic office, where the Jews miss it, and the Gentiles miss it, knocking at the door, the great prophet is back. The Son of Man standing, running their nose in the mist. But out of it comes everything. Because he is the Word. That's right. Heavenly Father, God of gods, Lord of lords, King of kings, mighty God, our God tonight, we praise thee. And bless thy holy name, for thou hast written in majesty, Lord. Thou hast declared thyself. We just praise thee tonight, O God, from the fullness of our hearts, the full assurance of faith, the love and the knowledge and the every consideration that you placed within us, Lord, you did it. And we stand here tonight knowing that in ourselves we have nothing of ourselves. It is worse than ever. But in thee, Lord, it is more glorious than ever. And we see thy glory all the more clearly, even as your own word said, our faithlessness all the more clearly declares the faithfulness of Almighty God. Lord, we don't want to run any gamut of being fools and stupid and running off trying to commit some kind of atrocious or ridiculous some type of sin to prove the grace of God. Lord, no, we prove the grace of God by triumphing over sin and walking in the mist and love of Jesus Christ, knowing that he is here, knowing our God is sufficient, knowing that all things are of him. And the great Roman candle did not fizzle. No way! It fizzled to them because they turned off and walked off. They wouldn't wait and see the glory of the Lord. And he pleaded, wait and see the glory of the Lord. And Moses screamed out. You screamed to Moses, stand still and see the glory of the Lord. They wouldn't stand still. But tonight, Lord, there is a people who will stand still for the rebirth out of the ground. There is a people who will not be like your book, your prophet Hosea screamed out against Ephraim. He could not stand still to see the dead come out of the ground. America can't do it. But there's a remnant within America that can. We'll stand still, Lord, and see those dead come out of the ground. Hallelujah. And we shall be changed in every corpuscle down within the very atoms and be whisked away in chariots of light, because that's the promise of Almighty God. We know, Lord, tonight this is not something to get enthused about within ourselves, because within ourselves we could no more get enthused about it than nothing, because it is so far and so bizarre from anything anybody would teach. Killed every tradition and creed and dogma, and well might it. Well might it, for it is a flaming sword of life. The Lord, we have risen from amongst the dead. And we're very glad we have. And hopefully now, Lord, we set our faces and our hearts to begin to come together more and more often to talk about the things of God, to reduce ourselves to a one-word people. There is one word, the prophet's word, that end-time message. And all the glory and all the grace and all that everything's coming out of it. We thank you for it, Lord. We don't understand it all. We may never. That is certainly true, but we understand this one thing, Lord, that we are a part of it. And we have certainly entered into thy presence. We have faced thee and seen thee face to face, as it were. And we've acknowledged thee, and grace and grace and grace multiplied has come down upon us. We thank you for that, Lord. Now, my God and my Father, because we would live for you, and we want to live for you in such character and life and light as never before, we pray, Lord, that you will help us, O God. That you will just keep transforming us somehow until, not that men should know, that is not what we want, but if that is what you want, that would be what we would want too. For this one thing we want within ourselves, Lord, that if Paul the Apostle said, if we live in the Spirit, we may walk in it also. That is what we're looking at. To walk in that Spirit, O God, knowing that there is a calling within a calling within a calling. There are many callings out there, Lord. Many, many, many ways we're called to our vocation in thee. But that great call which you gave at the end time, revealing yourself to us, the great one, we just don't want to have anything about us that would cast an aspersion upon that. Many, and the bride, Lord, must be without spot, without wrinkle. We're claiming that. We're not only claiming it, Lord, by the ministry of the outworking of the blood, scattering sin, oh, that's true. The bride is perfected by the blood. We thank you for that. But, Lord, we're also believing that there is a witness and there is a testimony in the grace which you and the characteristics and those natures that you have placed in us by the Holy Spirit to reflect that word. And that's exactly where we want to stand. And we commend ourselves to you, to that very principle and purpose, Lord. And we just praise you that you hear us tonight. And we're getting closer and closer to the great day of the resurrection, closer and closer to the time of healing sweeping amongst us, and so many having so much of the goodness of the Lord
devolve upon them. Lord, just may everyone in this building be blessed. I know already they have been blessed, but may they keep the blessing that they have received tonight. May the living word of Almighty God penetrate so deep within the heart, become the very warp and woof of their existence, the very life within the blood, for one day that blood must go and it become a spirit. Absolutely just a spirit remains, for the life is in the blood. And the body changed to a spirit body, which should be a glorified body. How wonderful and how marvelous, Lord. We're dealing with it right now. May each one in your presence, because you are here, know that this is a surety, this is absolutely a fact, and this fact absolutely begin to work upon us in a new and more wonderful way, commensurate, Lord, with your will and your way, not with our understanding, lest we get into creeds and dogmas. We just hunger and thirst, Lord, after righteousness and a manifestation in our own lives, that men may realize that there is this greater life. That's all we're talking about tonight, Lord, and we believe that you hear us, and we believe you're helping us. We open our heart to you, Lord, in faith tonight. In trust tonight, O God, our hearts are open, and we believe that you do help us from this time on. Forgive us for every sin, Lord. Help us be more acute to the pitfalls and trials ahead, that we, like a clever boxer, may parry every thrust of the devil, and we know how to rebuke him, and stand still and see the glory of the Lord. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, word without end. Amen. The Lord